Welcome to the January 2016 podcast for Neurosurgical Focus. I'm Natalie Pynchon. The January issue is on the topic of dynamic stabilization of the spine. In this podcast, we hear a conversation between topic editor Dr. Vincent Trainellis of Rush University in Chicago, Illinois, and Dr. Peter Gersten and Erin Pascal, both with the University of Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. They discuss Dr. Gersten, Ms. Pascal, and colleagues' article, Posterior Lumbar Dynamic Stabilization Instead of Arthrodesis for Symptomatic Adjacent Segment Degenerative Stenosis, Description of a Novel Technique.
My name is Vince Trainellis. I'm a neurosurgeon at Rush University in Chicago, and I was one of the co-editors of a recent Neurosurgical Focus special issue on dynamic stabilization. And we've chosen one of the key papers that will be in this focus issue on the topic, which is entitled Posterior Lumbar Dynamic Stabilization Instead of Arthrodesis for Symptomatic Adjacent Segment Degenerative Stenosis, Description of a Novel Technique. And we have authors from that paper with us today to discuss some of the issues concerning it. I'll let them introduce themselves and give us just a quick snapshot of the paper, and then I have some questions for them.
Dr. Peter Gersten, I'm a neurosurgeon at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, and also with me is a co-author and the lead author.
Erin Pascal, I'm a neurosurgery here at UPMC in Pittsburgh. I'm a co-author of the Posterior Lumbar Dynamic Stabilization Instead of Arthrodesis for Symptomatic Adjacent Segment Degenerative Stenosis, the Description of a Novel Technique, and I'm working with Dr. Peter Gersten.
Okay, very good. So this was a retrospective review, is that correct, of a group of patients treated in a homogeneous fashion?
That is correct.
Can you just tell us just a few points about the collection of your patient, a little bit about the follow-up, and your conclusions?
Sure. We analyzed a group of 28 consecutive patients who developed symptomatic stenosis immediately adjacent to a rigid fixation in the lumbar spine. We followed these patients for 52 months with serial follow-up visits and an x-ray at 3 months postoperatively. We evaluated their response to treatment with VAS pain scores and found that the majority of these patients did very well and did not require further surgery or treatment following treatment with dynamic stabilization.
Very good. One question that I have about the work deals with the FDA labeling. The dynamic stabilization device used is approved only to be used as an adjunct to fusion. And so how did you deal with this in terms of your patient population, providing informed consent, explaining the process?
So each patient during their preoperative them that they would be undergoing instrumentation with something that was approved for an adjunct to fusion. The procedure was explained in great detail to them, and everybody gave informed consent for the off-label use of adjunct to fusion. All of the procedure was non-fusion, so it was explained to them preoperatively that this would be performed during the surgery.
Did you have any issues with insurance carriers not willing to cover the off-label use?
No, we did not.
Okay, excellent. In looking through the article in Figure 1, you show how through a single pedicle screw, you transition from a rigid fixation member, the previously implanted hardware, directly to the dynamic one. And usually when we, say, connect two rods together, it's a longer connection process or a side-to-side connection process, and this is just over a very short space. And there's no cutaway from the image to let us see what it looks like on the inside. So can you tell us exactly how those two fit inside a single tulip head?
Sure. The system is specifically designed to use this transition screw. So after the pedicle screws are placed, the rod is measured at the fuse segment. And while we're standing there, the ScrubTech actually connects the cord to the rod before we implant the device. It comes packaged this way from the factory.
So the cord is packaged, connected to the rod when you open it.
There are connectors, and the tech actually puts together the rod and the cord after the rod is measured. So there are pre-measured rods, and then the device is connected after the measurement is made.
And so you would have to explant the patient's original rod and replace it with this rod?
Correct. The screws are actually explanted as well because there is this transition screw that needs to be used as well as the Optima screw. So all new screws are placed.
Okay. And then finally, we know the implantation of such dynamic stabilizing instruments can still result in fusion. And do you know if any of the patients throughout their follow-up in your study went on to get a fusion? And if so, were there any predictors of who might that happen to if others start to use this technique?
There were no patients that we found to undergo fusion following surgery. At 3 months postoperatively, we assessed each patient with AP and lateral x-rays of the lumbar spine, and there was no evidence of fusion at that point. We did not look at CT scans or further imaging in the long term to determine if there was a fusion present. However, none of the patients required subsequent surgery for fusion.
So the only postoperative radiographic time point was 3 months?
Correct.
Okay. Well, I really congratulate you on your work. It's very interesting. It may represent a viable alternative for patients if it holds up over the next 5 years. And I thank you for spending some time answering these questions and talking about it.
Thank you very much, Dr. Trinellas.
Thank you very much.
All right. Have a good day.
This concludes our podcast for the January issue of Neurosurgical Focus. Please join us for the February issue when the topic will be endoscopic spine surgery. Thank you for listening. The Journal of Neurosurgery mobile app is available in iTunes and the Google Play Store. Just search for JNSPG to download the app for your mobile device today.